Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
This is Bold Women on the Move, the show for migrant women making their way in New Zealand and across the world. With your host, Morenike. Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to another episode of Bold Women on the Move. And to this conversation, now that we are here, I know this is the third part in this series of understanding, unpacking the New Zealand education system. Yeah, we've just got two more to go and then it will be done and dusted. But you see, Amanda has been so awesome and she's dishing out awesome information, and all this information, like I had mentioned in the past, you can check up from your Tamariki school and find out whatever area of clarification, seek further clarification from the school teachers, from the school counselors, and I'm sure they'll be willing to point you in the right direction. So sit back, grab your popcorn, or maybe you're in the kitchen busy. I know we women, we always want to keep busy. If you're in the kitchen busy, you know, just sit back as we look at, more information, more updates, the third part in the series of the New Zealand education system. You're listening to Bold Women on the Move, kindly brought to you with support from the Ratu Foundation and Ministry of Ethnic Communities. Listen to Bold Women on the Move wherever you're going. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and plains.org.nz. Oh, so those programs are actually credit worthy?
Most of them might have what they call, this is a different thing now, they will have standards. So you'll have achievement standards, which is NCA, and you'll have standards or unit standards, which are very specific to work-based learning.
Oh, okay. I think some of the subjects that they take are not like up to NCA level, but they call them, they get a standard. Like, I remember my daughter taking something about childcare.
Yes.
But they don't do those in NCEA. Like, they don't do any exam in NCEA. They just do it and it ends there.
I do want to say, Morenike, that it's not that it's up to the NCEA level. It's part of the NCEA package. So in NCEA, you can have achievement standards and unit standards. Unit standards are very much the work-based standards.
Okay.
So you can actually attach that to your NCEA and gain those credits from that. So they're part and parcel. They are equal. Some people don't see that, but it really is. And so I do want to say, just look into Gateway if your child is really struggling about direction.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Like listeners, Amanda has pointed this bit out. I like the fact that's one of the things I like about podcasts, because with podcasts you can pause and listen, you can replay. I always tell our listeners, don't get overwhelmed when we have a lot of information to pass to us today. We still have more. Like, as I'm asking Amanda this question, questions are popping up in my head and I'm refraining from stopping Amanda and, you know, asking and loading her up with questions. And this is because this topic is also a lived experience. Yeah. You know, I have a lived experience with it, you know. I wouldn't say I was successful. I made some mistake even along this way. And it's because I didn't have the appropriate knowledge, or I didn't act appropriately. For one one of my child was quite independent, so it looked like she didn't really need that support. Although this, I provided some level of support. For another one, I discovered that she actually needed the support, but I didn't give her up to the level of support she needed. So the outcome was not as desirable as it would have been. You know, so with the last one, I'm trying to now, you know, measure up and provide as much support, get as much knowledge. And like Amanda said, knowledge is power. And you can always ask. We have mentioned the different management personalities in the school that you can send an email to. You can call them. You can arrange a meeting to discuss the kind of progress that your child is making. And the kind of support that you can provide as a migrant parent is to be involved and to ask questions. If you're not clear about what is happening, please ask questions, okay? No one will look down on you for asking questions. But you're just trying to provide support for your child. And when there are those information evenings, I'm guilty. I own up today. I'm guilty. I don't get on board most of the time to sign up and attend. I've not attended all the information evening. But for the child that I actually attended the information evening, I was able to be aware of what challenges she was having, and I was able to provide the right support. So you were right. Those information evenings, interviews with parents are quite important. I know as migrant women or out there, or migrants in general, we're so busy on our job and it's difficult to take time off. So those evenings, they're usually planned ahead. So it's something, it's worth it if we have to take leave from work to be able to attend those meetings. They are very much worth it. So moving on. Yeah, we were hammering on. I mean, we came up with two questions. The first one will be to ask, how does vocational school works? At what stage does a child maybe is qualified or can go on to vocational school? Because we're talking about a child that is struggling. You know, for some of us, we're from, we know that every child, you know, don't have the same level of abilities. And that does not make them failures in life. And we're in this kind of society that we know that, you know, a particular career, unlike back home in Nigeria, some certain profession are rated, oh, you're in the high echelons and you are the one making all the money. But it's so funny here that that's not the case here. A child may not go to the university, but may end up in a job or a vocation that is even any more than, you know, has more job satisfaction than someone, you know, that has gone to university. So the question, the first question I'll first lay on the table is, how does the vocational system work? So if I find out that my child is struggling, what are those vocational options? How do kids access them? That's one. Two, if I find out that my child is also struggling and may possibly have a behavior, you know, challenges, how do I get support? This is very important as migrant women, because sometimes we're not even aware of the learning difficulties our child have, or we may feel that we are on our own, you know, trying to make sure they're fitting into the mold. But some kids can't because they're having a challenge. So how do we discover this? How do we provide support? What sort of supports are in the system for kids, one, that are struggling with fitting into the mainstream, because one, maybe they prefer another vocation that wouldn't be along the university level, or secondly, kids that are not fitting into the mainstream because they have learning difficulties. Please bail us out here.
How many days have you got, Melanie?
This is so so much.
But I think, those are two very important things. And I think also language is important, because I know where I come from, you're either university or vocational.
Okay.
So what I want to say, and this is coming from my career development hat on.
Okay.
I just want to say career is lifelong and life-wide, includes all of those. So when we are thinking that, it's either university or it's industry training. So we speak a lot about industry training.
Industry training, okay.
And industry are varied. Like you can have the primary industries, which is farming and all that sort of stuff. And then you might have an industry that is about the caring industry.
Yeah.
And you have the industry that's education. So it's various things. So what we've got to know is that in New Zealand, remember right at the beginning of our conversation, we spoke about learner-centre.
Yep.
Student-centred. Person-centred.
Centred. Mm.
So your journey is your journey.
Mm.
And so what the system as a whole provides is all of those. And all of those pathways are valid.
Yeah, I like Zealand. The word, valid.
Valid.
Yeah.
And they are good. And you can cross from vocational education, because that's what you were talking about.
Vocational education,
which includes industry training, and university training. Mm. So you can cross over and come in from one side to the other, as you're growing in your confidence in yourself and understanding of yourself about the person that you are becoming.
Mm.
So understanding that there's a place for all of us, and there's enough space for all of us in all of those areas.
Mm.
So we don't look down upon
anyone
about whatever journey they're deciding to take. So if we put that hat on and we look with those eyes, then we can have a little bit more empathy for our children and just say, okay, well, let's look at all the options available to us. Knowing, and you, I love that you sharing your examples, because your children are all different.
Yeah.
And they're following different roads, but you're proud of all the roads that they are following.
Mm.
But that comes down to also, how do you know how to support them in the journey that they're taking?
Mm.
And that's an important. So that's why I think you probably gave me those two questions
as one.
So I'm not quite sure how you want me to answer the first question around what those options are.
Yeah, so vocational, we know that there is NCEA 1, 2, 3 that leads to university credits. I know there's a phrase called university credits.
University entrance.
And then you now use it to go into university. But I also know that in year 12, that was why I asked the question. Compulsory education for some is up to 16.
Yeah,
when a child is 16 in year 12, could opt out to leave school and go into vocational training,
education.
Now, how do we make that decision? How do we, how do we support our kids if that is the appropriate or the right option for them? How do we get them to that stage there?
So just going back from there, it's about your dean, your form teacher, and your subject teachers knowing your child. And you knowing the journey that your child is taking within the school. So these conversations, it should not be a surprise when your child gets to year 12 that they want to follow one path or the other.
Okay.
So through the results that they're getting, through the conversations that you're having with the teachers, your child and you know sort of where they are at.
Mm.
In the schools, they will start to be able to get opportunities to be able to look at different ways of contributing to their education. So that's why I spoke about Gateway earlier. Gateway is one way they can actually start developing their vocational education credits. So that's just an option. So some people start with that quite early. Even at year 11, they start looking at vocational options. The other part is just making sure that your child knows that they can speak to the careers advisor and their dean and their form teacher to say, hey, I feel like I'm struggling here. I'm not a STEM child. Mm. You know, I'm not a science person. Tech, they might, you know, you might find that a child might like, you know, technology a bit. Or they, you know, the arts a bit. Mm. So understanding who your child is and what their interests are and what their preferences are is really such an important conversation that we miss. We don't have a conversation about, so tell me what you're thinking. What you like. What, you know, what are some of your thoughts about what your future could look like? And having that conversation is important. So connecting in with your careers advisor in the school to have that conversation is going to be important. Mm. And hearing what your child is saying. Mm. I was in school, taught in secondary schools for many years here in New Zealand before I went on to do my own thing. And the anxiety that young people go through when they are making their transition from school, and this is from year 11, hey? Year 11, 12, 13, about other people's expectations.
Yeah. Mm.
Because my parents say that I need to go to university. So I'm pushing myself and pushing myself and pushing myself, and I'm realizing that's not where I want to go in the first place. Mm. In the second place, I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling to get those credits. Mm. So noticing child's anxiety, noticing what they're saying about their school, about the subject areas that they subjects that they're taking, asking the right questions. Mm. So how is it going? So are you finding one subject more difficult than the other? Or after you've had a conversation at the school parent-teacher interview, say to your child, hey, Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so said this in the interview. Tell me more about that. So as parents, having those conversations with your child is so, so important.
Okay.
To understanding what pathway they want to take. Because if you're understanding that, then you are able to fully support your child in the direction that they want to go.
Okay. So is this vocational learning the same as the apprenticeship system?
It's part of it. So you can go, yeah. So it can be part of it's industry training, vocational education.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can do a 4-year apprenticeship. That's what I'm saying. It could be a year, it could be 2 years, 3 years. So if you look at the infrastructure and construction industries. You could do a trade qualification. That's 4 years. It takes you through a big journey. And so that apprenticeship system is where you're actually on the job and you're doing on-the-job training. While you're on the job training, you're also getting paid. And you're also getting your qualifications. Mm. Every year you get what they call stackable qualifications. So you might start with you might get your level one foundational in construction or infrastructure. And then you go to level two and so on. Okay. So it is important to know that is an option and it is a viable option for a lot of people.
Yeah, because most of us, my understanding is from our background, like I'll say I'm from Nigeria, and the way it is there's this grading we give to education system. Mm. And so when you move to a new country, you also put that expectation on your kids. You just want them to finish high school, and what you're expecting is go to the university as if that is the only option. Yeah. You know, it's good to know that there are other options that the kids, and these are viable options, and there is no judgment about those options, and the kids, can learn a skill, contribute to the society,
and
they will earn money.
They will earn money, but they will get there. I don't like the conversation about either or. It's university or apprenticeship.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff in between. We've got so much grey here. So they can decide, I don't know if I'm actually going to go straight to university. That's stressing me out. I don't know if I can. So go into a polytech.
Okay.
Yeah. So there are different options there. So there's the open polytech you can do by distance. Mm-hmm. There is our great Te Pukenga, which has all the different providers under that, and they can go through and do certificates and then do a diploma and then go into work from if they want to. Or they can decide, actually, I really like this subject area. I think I'm ready at the age of 25
to go to the university.
In my maturity, in my confidence, to actually go to university. There is time. We have a long career journey. And we have all got a place in when we can access different parts of this big education system. And that's what I love about New Zealand, is that all of those, as I said earlier, are valid pathways. So, you know, for our students to go through anxiety and stress in the high school.
Just to make one decision. Yeah, into the scope.
It's really important for us to know as parents that there are many roads to success.
Yep.
And success is not necessarily your idea of success.
Of success,
but
yeah.
What is it? What's your child looking at? And I tell you, that takes a lot of stress off a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you'll start seeing your child flourish in this New Zealand system when you can be open to all pathways.
So we're going to look at that second part. And that is when there are clear indications that your child probably have a learning disabilities. One, how do we get to that journey? Because I know that there are realities here.
And most schools will have support systems in place specifically for students that have got a little bit more exceptional learning
needs
because there's a whole range. You know, you come in at different places. So that is important when you're having that relationship, especially when your child is has difficulty with certain subject areas or whether they have difficulty generally in their learning. Having that relationship, and I don't want to say just discussion, building a relationship with your teachers, with the dean again, with the form teacher and some subject areas, and having that conversation around the support that your child needs. So there are different people they can access. So they have learner support in schools where somebody comes in and will work with your child specifically or with a group of students together. And that's different, you know, that support is different when you're in primary school right up to high school. Sometimes when your child is showing real difficulty in learning, so there might be some other issues involved, there's ADHD, there's a whole range of learning issues that might be involved there. Getting an assessment is really good because once you've got a diagnosis or you understand your child's learning and where it actually sits, then they can access specific support.
Who determines the assessment?
Is it the school? So the school.
Okay.
And you never forget that we are the child's first teacher. We understand them most.
Okay.
So if we are noticing that, hang on, something, I'm not sure about something here, having that first conversation with the dean or the deputy, whoever's working with learning in the school, even directly with the teacher then will highlight that and then will start organising that assessment to happen.
Okay.
And some assessments, some parents just say, I'm going to send them for assessment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it just means that you are paying.
Okay.
For that assessment.
So how do you access those?
You need to find out. So
would that be the doctor
I would definitely go to your doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. Doctor, this is what I'm concerned about. Who can I access? Just to find that out. But then also your teachers. Just say, who can I access? And also important to know is that the universities have students that are studying in certain areas.
Yeah.
So you might have noticed that your child might have some higher level language issues, so learning and language. So you might be able to access from the University of Canterbury to go through their students. That's a little bit cheaper for us to be able to access. So when we're in that space, we get to know who's available.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got the teacher as the first point of call.
No, you as the parent are the first.
You are the first person. But then, when you need that support for your child, you could ask your teacher who can now refer you.
Yes.
Am I right to assume?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you could ask the teachers who can refer you to whatever other supportive system that you need. Maybe they need to set up an assessment, just like you said, or then you need to, you know, go get those form of assessment for your kids.
Just to have a good understanding of where they're from. And this could be any assessment. It could be bottom line. It could be just their hearing.
Okay.
So they might have all these learning problems, and it boils down to hearing. Or eyesight,
yeah.
You know, and so when they've got especially behavioral difficulties, you know, when a child is like lashing out and not, something is not right.
Right, okay.
So let's do the whole check.
Now, the conversation is getting more and more serious, because we're looking at what it means to have learning difficulties, which are realities. Unfortunately, sometimes some of us that are immigrants from ethnic communities, because of class structure or discrimination, sometimes we want to shy away from this reality that our kids can and have some need for support. So this is the key word here, support. Okay, it's not meant to discriminate. It's not meant to put down. It's not meant to discourage them, you know, or make them look as not being able. But it's supposed to provide an enabling environment for whatever difficulty these kids are having. So if you have noticed, you know, that your kid has one need for support, maybe sometimes you don't even notice this. For example, for me, one of my daughter, I didn't even notice she needed glasses. You know, I used glasses, but I started using glasses quite, you know, later in years. So I was surprised that, you know, quite an early age, you know, but the teachers picked it up and they informed me. And then I have to take her for testing, you know, to get the support, the right glasses that she needs. So it could be something as basic as that. So the supports are in place. We have, in most schools, we have what we call supported learning centers. And they will often send information home if they have noticed that your child might be having one form of challenge, behavioral or learning challenge or the other. Let's embrace this. Let's allow ourselves to embrace this opportunity to make our children's life are better. So just one more part to go in the series of learning more about the New Zealand education system. So till we come your way again, it is bye from now on Bold Women on the Move. Thanks for joining me, Morenike, on Bold Women on the Move. I'd like to thank the Rata Foundation and Ministry for Ethnic Communities for their grants which made this show possible. You can help grow the show by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Bold Women on the Move on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who you think will appreciate this conversation. New episodes come out every second Friday at 11:30 a.m. on Plains Media 96.9 FM and plains.org.nz. You can also follow Bold Women on the Move on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more great content. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And if you have a story to share, please reach out. Details are in the show's link tree, which you can find wherever you're hearing this. Until next time, keep moving boldly towards your dreams.